let's take it further and let's talk about this DNA, because before we go to the DNA, let's talk about the parts of our bodies and our beings that are allowing us to connect with these non-physical realms. Because they've been shut down in the physical world. In the 3D, we are shut down. We've become zombies.
Hi, and welcome to PyramidOneNetwork.com. Let me tell you about the host that's coming up next. Her name is Lori Spagna. Lori radically transformed her life after a series of near-death experiences while living in Maui. She is a best-selling author of the book, How Psychic Are You? 7 Simple Steps to Unblocking Your Psychic Potential, as well as Animals in the Afterlife, and Learn Animal Communication and Telepathy, as well as the author of the upcoming book, 2 Years in Maui. Lori has over 20 years of experience serving humans and animals around the world and is an internationally recognized speaker, author, and teacher who provides seminars and workshops for spiritually minded animal lovers about how we can improve our lives by learning, again, learning from animals. As a spiritual teacher, visionary, lightworker, starseed, intuitive, and healer, Lori teaches about ascension and acts as a guide to awakening spiritually minded animal lovers, lightworkers, starseeds, and way showers. May I introduce to you, to the world, to the universe, Lori Spagna.
All right, you got it down. Hello, hello. Oh, how you
yeah.
doing, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I am definitely here.
You got that intro down. That was really awesome.
Do I really?
Yeah. Oh, I know you pulled some kind of magic out of the hat today.
Oh, tons. You have
As
no
you
idea. Huh?
As you always do. You're full of magic.
No, I have a lot of spirits around me that are helping me. Trust me.
Yes, I understand. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight, and I want to welcome all of our listeners. We have an awesome show tonight.
We got an awesome amount of listeners right now, too. I also have to remind, before you go any further, all the people that are here, all right? Now, I know we're going to get hit on the phones because I've been getting all kinds of messages all day. If you do get to the phone, awesome. If you want to listen, fine. You can put messages in the chat box. I pass them over. You can listen, period, or you can go to the phones. But when you go to the phones, please put yourself on mute. Don't have dogs barking in the background or the laundry's going at the same time. So just call
in.
We can hear everything. Yes. This is like God. I know it all. Yes, exactly.
Yes. All right. So awesome. Do we want to announce the call-in number as well? Because I think we're going to take callers and questions, right?
Yeah, we also did it at the top of the show, but it's 843-300-1399. Again, dial 843-300-1399.
Awesome. So let me just, before we introduce our guest today, who I'm super excited about, I know everybody's going to love him. His name is Sarion Michael White. But before I introduce him and help people get to know him a little better and hear everything amazing that he has to share with us, I just want to make a couple of quick announcements. First, for anyone who joined me this past weekend at the New Life Expo in Florida, it was so lovely to meet you, and I'm so happy to connect with you. And, you know, I'll be at the New Life Expo again in New York this time, the weekend of Friday, October 27th. I'll be speaking on the Vibrational Energy Healing panel that evening. And then on Saturday, the 28th of October, and Sunday, the 29th of October. So all weekend, it's a 3-day weekend event, the New Life Expo in New York. I'll also be speaking on the Strange Universe panel on Saturday and Sunday. And also I'll be doing 2 live free presentations. They're free with admission to the expo. One on Saturday and one on Sunday. One will be Ascension and Awakening to the Fifth Dimensional Reality, Attunement and Alignment with 5D and Beyond, Higher Dimensional Frequencies and Living. And then the other presentation will be Vibrational Energy Healing for You and Your Animals, including Telepathy and Energetic Connection and working with animals and humans that way. So that's all coming up at the New Life Expo in New York, the last weekend of October. And if you want to know more of that, you can head over to laurispagna.com under the live events tab and you'll see all those events. And I also just want to make a quick note about our upcoming guests before we introduce today's guests. Next week, the same Monday, on this radio station, this radio network, we have my dear friend, Leslie Sloan of Oracle Colors. So we'll get to know her a lot more. And then the Monday after that, we have another dear friend of mine, Meg Benedicte of New Earth Central. So we have a lot of great guests coming up. I don't want to leave too much before we introduce tonight's guest. I just want to say a couple of other just quick announcements regarding Ascension and what's going on. For those of you who heard last week, we talked a little bit about this window that we're in right now, which is a beautiful time to integrate and elevate and level up to the next frequencies, the higher, lighter vibrations that you're ready to ascend and attune to. We have these window periods where we can kind of integrate our healing, our lessons, our learning, our evolution, awaken and activate more within us, where it's sort of like almost like a little bit of a lull before the next trigger windows open. So the next trigger gateways really are going to be opening later in October, but the big next leap is going to be coming in January of 2018, as far as I understand. So right now, this is a really nice time for integration, attunement, and allowing the new learning and new vibratory frequencies that we've been leveling up to really integrate within us so that we can feel more centered in our core center of love, our core pillar of love. That's the pillar within our sacred center, you know, that core pillar that lines us up basically with the divine that's emanating in and through all of us. So that's a little update about what's going on energetically. I also just want to mention two other live events coming up besides the New Life Expo that I'm going to in October. Is just that I have still going on the Exiting the Matrix class. If you're interested in learning more about that, head over to laurispagna.com. And that Exiting the Matrix class is going on right now, but it's not too late to get involved with it. It's all about dismantling and disentangling from third dimensional reality and fully anchoring into the fifth dimensional reality. So you head over to laurispagna.com under the live events tab and you can learn all about that. And the other class that I just want to briefly mention is the next sacred energy activations. It's not really a class. It's a one night webinar event where we do sacred energy activations and healing for people and animals. That's coming up on the third Thursday of this month. So to participate in that and get more energy activations and healing for you and your animal companions, once again, you would head over to laurispagna.com under the live events tab and you can find out all the details about that. And finally, if you're not a member of my community, please do join us. When you join the community, you'll get lots of amazing Juicy Living gifts. One is a free Juicy Living ebook. You get a class on learning about your star seed and lightworker origins. You'll get a class on learning about your developing your intuitive and empathic gifts. And you'll get a class about your dormant DNA. You'll also get a class about connecting with your animals in a heart-centered way and developing your ability to practice telepathy and animal communication with them. All of those gifts are free at laurispagna.com when you join the community. All right, so without any further ado, I want to bring on our most lovely, wonderful, and amazing guest. I know you will love him as much as I do. He's a dear friend. His name is Sarion Michael White. So I want to just give you his official introduction so you can learn a little bit more about him as he comes on and tells us, shares with us so many wonderful things. Sarion is an author, a spiritual channel, and a global messenger of humanity's peace potential. As an international speaker and intuitive consultant, Sarion's workshops, conferences, and private readings have touched the lives of people throughout the world. He certainly has touched my life. I know he's going to touch yours too. In the same vein as books like The Celestine Prophecy, Sarion has taken truth-telling through a fictional approach to convey a series of highly relevant teachings through his new spiritual adventure series titled after the main character, Roya Sands. Roya Sands and the Living Library, that's the title of the first book, it's due to be released this month, October 2017. I know we'll be discussing that a bit tonight. Sarian's lifelong devotion to the practice of channeling has led to extraordinary breakthroughs in consciousness that have helped make the invisible realms a much more accessible experience for his community and his audience. Currently, Sarian anchors the School of Manifestation, which is a new dispensation of teachings from the Ascended Masters with whom he works to educate humanity during this time of transition into a new age. And you can learn more about Sarian and his School of Manifestation at his website entitled theschoolofmanifestation.com. Sarian is also a tremendous resource. When you join the School of Manifestation, you'll really know it's just one of the best decisions that you'll ever make. And he's a tremendous resource. He does private readings, and his gift of spiritual discernment is really priceless. And I can vouch for him because, as I know, I've worked with him personally and professionally. I love him so much. Sarian, are you here?
Can
you
see I am here. Yes. Very excited to be here.
Welcome so much to the show. I'm so happy to have you. So, yeah, why don't you start off by just telling us a little bit about you in your own words, even though we just gave you the formal introduction, and how you started to do this work, and just anything you want to share to help people get to know you better.
Well, it's been a really interesting journey. I've had a kind of a fairly conscious experience of being trained by spiritual guides and masters and angels and things from a very early age. It really started in my late teens. And at a certain point, I guess the masters decided I was ready, and they opened the floodgates and they had me start doing readings for people. I didn't even know I had it in me, but suddenly I was receiving all of these guides and masters and beings that were coming in and speaking to people through me. And that process over many years changed me and caused me to evolve and progress as a channel. And once I reached another level of refinement in the training, then they brought in the blueprint for the School of Manifestation, which is an interplane school. It's actually a multidimensional school. It's one of the interplane universities of light that our souls participate in. Some of us go to these places when we're asleep at night, and we connect in with the masters through these teaching centers. And I am one of many people, yourself included, who are teachers within those interplane schools and are anchoring parts of what is being dispensed to us from the ascended realms. So really, really interesting to get to participate on that level with bringing through information for people. But it's something that has always been close to my heart. If I go back to my teens before I awakened, I remember the prayers that I was praying. I was saying, let me be an open vessel. You know, I want to receive information from the heavens and bring it here to help humanity become more informed, more educated, more awakened, more aware, more unified. That was always an intention in my heart. And everything that has been given to me has been a response to that intention and has continued to help me to be more and more of a resource. So I'm just incredibly honored to be a resource to as many people as possible.
I love what you said there, Sarian. It's so true, because I feel like that's why all my gifts came online, because I had a sincere desire. That was my mantra. Help me to be of service to animals on a global scale.
Yep.
And I had that mantra for years. And it's really, the universe responds when we're in our heart center. Because I know there's so many people now who are waking up to the concept of service, and I'm so grateful. And I know that there are people in sort of, who are still embedded in third dimension, but it's still coming kind of from like, I want to be of service, but it's still ego driven, because it's now the new hot thing to do, to be of service,
Right.
And it's still a great thing. It's still a great thing, but your expression, my point is that you were so heart-centered in your desire. Help me be a vessel. That's so heart-centered. And that's what I love about you so much, is that you're so heart-centered.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think there's an important distinction to make here with what you're saying about service and, the way people view it or embody it to one degree or another. And, we talk a lot about ascension. It's one of my favorite subjects. It's one of your favorite subjects. We're always aligning ourselves with the leading edge of that new incoming energy. And so we're always learning new things about the dynamics of those higher vibrations and how to stay in tune with it, how to stay in the more refined levels of balance in relationship to that new energy. And service is a huge key to that. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of the ascension teachings that I remember seeing when I was actually going through my awakening in my teens, I was seeing a lot, and I still am, about this concept of personal ascension, personal liberation. Like, I personally am going to get to the mountaintop by just figuring out how to raise my vibration without realizing the key to the service piece. But actually, if you just put your whole heart and being into empowering the liberation of others, then that's what actually allows you to ride those waves of energy into higher and higher vibration so that you can be a resource to others.
Yes.
You know, you kind of let go of figuring out how am I going to get there, and you focus on empowering others, because it's actually all about the group ascension. If you are empowering the group with the full presence of your gifts and you're in your heart center, then the waves of ascension energy are just pouring into you. And I know you are in that same kind of experience. So,
yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's such a big deal to be of service and to have the sincerity of the heart-centered, sincere care and compassion. So anyway, again, I love that about you so much. Well, let me ask you, Sarah-Ann, I know that you are literally releasing your new book and you're super excited about it. And I want to hear all about it. I know everybody listening doesn't. We'll take some callers. We know we have some people on the phone lines called in, but I just want you to talk about your new book, Roya Sands. Tell us about the book and share with us more about this.
Yeah, I'm actually laughing because the introduction that you read is slightly out of date, because we've actually had to move the launch date out into November. So we still have a little ways to go. We're just wrapping up the production aspect of things, and we are maybe about a week or so away from starting to launch and activate our launch team, or to build our launch team. So people can actually go to the website royasands.com. That's royasands.com. And they can join the launch team. They can pre-order the book. They can read a little bit about it. But I'll tell you that there's so many things in here that I don't want to spoil, because this is a real unique adventure story, spiritual adventure story, that was channeled. I mean, it's a channeled fiction story. Mm. I've been channeling stuff for a long time. And when this started to come through, there was a whole different set of spiritual guides that came through. There were beings that came to me to actually play the roles of the characters that I imagined for them. And so the characters actually became like a co-creation. It was like having a troupe of actors come in, and I'm the director, and I'm assigning roles and giving them character traits, and then they just embodied it, and we co-created it as a multidimensional experience. And so there are beings actually holding a multidimensional construct of the entire fictional world of the story, so that when people read this, they're plugging into a dreamscape, and hopefully having a bit of a multidimensional experience themselves of the different transformations and energetic things that are happening in the story. So, you know, when something happens to one of the characters, it's happening to you. Mm. It was designed to be that real, because this is a truth-telling through fiction experience. And it's, you know, I've been telling people this is like Harry Potter meets the Celestine Prophecy meets X-Files. You know, it's there's so many different elements to it, but it blends the real and the invisible truth all around us into a fictional platform in a way that I think is going to be very inspiring and engaging for a lot of people.
Wow, that sounds so awesome. I mean, I know in January we were talking about your book and how you were going to be laying it out. So I know this is like a very big, you know, this is a big thing, this launch, and it's going to be such an amazing book. Well, so how much of it, by the way, is like fictional? How much is fictional, and how much is, would you say, is quote unquote real? What would you say about that?
That is a very interesting question. I would say on one level or another, it's all real. And I say that because it's the story is designed to communicate real information, real truths, real things that are hidden. It's an unveiling of things that are in the unseen and secret and things that we're not supposed to know about. But at the same time, even the fictional elements, like I said, were co-created by beings that are holding an energy around this. The fictional characters are actually as real as the information that they are embodying and transmitting through their experiences. So this is a different kind of experience of reading fiction. I will say that I draw sometimes comparisons to a couple of different books, you know, the Celestine Prophecy, because of the whole way in which that was used to communicate spiritual insights through a fictional format. But when I look at books like Harry Potter was also created in this way. There were beings that inhabited the roles of these characters and that helped to create Hogwarts as a multidimensional holographic construct, almost like an interplane school that still exists. It's still there. It's still actually part of the reader's experience when they go into that fictional world. So, you know, it's just really interesting how it's created.
Yeah, I love that, because people don't always realize that Harry Potter, that all those stories are actually real. They do exist. They are real. They're not just fiction. That reality and that consciousness was downloaded, and it was a channeled series of books. So yes. I'm just kind of anchoring that in from saying the same thing in a way that you're saying in another, you know, in another language or another way, because what I'm getting about Roya Sands is that it is real, that there is a realness to it, and it's just being delivered as fictional. It's kind of in a similar way. You could even say, like, you know, there are lots of movies right now that are very real. The Matrix Reloaded, those are real stories. Men in Black.
Yes.
They're real stories, but they're delivered in a fictional way to help people digest and awaken to those truths. It's a form of soft disclosure. So in a way, would you agree? Is it, and I haven't read Roya Sands yet, but is it true? Or could you agree? Or would you agree that in a way that's a kind of soft disclosure to what exists in the non-physical realms?
Yes. In fact, I'm glad you're using that term. I had not thought of that before, that particular term, but it is a form of soft disclosure. Although when you read this particular book, there are parts of it that are more like a hard disclosure, because it is very straightforward in communicating the hidden truth. I was not shy, and neither are the energies behind this book, in terms of putting truth in front of people that is challenging to look at, challenging to digest, things that we need to be aware of. This book is designed to both warn and inspire, and it does about an equal amount of both. You know, somebody who read this book, one of the first people that read this book, a woman in Romania who was helping to proofread it, she was saying that I can't help thinking that this is all real, and that the names have been changed to protect the people involved. That's the impression that I want people to have. I was so glad to hear somebody say that. It was the very first quote that I had from anybody.
Yes. Awesome. Love that. I just want to ask you one last question, then we're going to take the next caller. So overall, though, the inspiration, where did the inspiration come? Was it from the beings you connected with in the non-physical realm and your channeled connection with other non-physical benevolent spirits, or where was the inspiration from?
It came from a lot of different sources. You know, some of this goes back to my own awakening and the books that influenced me, and looking at the way certain books impacted me, and thinking about, well, what if I could create something similar that would be for this time period? You know, here we are more than 20 years later, and for, you know, high school and junior high age, sophisticated, spiritually open readers like I was, that would take something like this and run with it and go, oh my God, this was created for me. This is actually helping me to see who I am, because they see themselves in the characters. So that's part of where the inspiration comes from. But some of it does come through visions and dreams. In fact, quite a lot of the story came to me in dreams in the original writing process. There was a period of about 6 months when you know, I'd be writing, I'd go to sleep at night, and I would see the characters come in and enact one of the scenes. I would see everything that was happening in great detail. I'd wake up and I would write the next chapter.
Awesome. Love that. Yeah. So it's totally channeled.
Yeah.
So, all right. I want to ask you some more, so many more questions. There's so many great things we want to share with people, but I think we have some callers. Bob, do we have callers or questions from the chat?
Oh, we got callers.
All right. Let's take our first caller.
Are you ready? Let's
yes.
see. Yep. Got to see who's on first. Okay. Area code 716. Who's on the line? That's you, 716.
Oh, hi, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, everybody else, put yourself on mute. Go ahead, 716.
No, I'm 716.
That's good.
You. Do you have a question or a comment or anything you want to share?
Well, I'm surprised because I did not know that I was. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
You didn't know.
My name is Dawn
Cole.
I'm 716 area code, and I guess it's an accident that was not an accident. I followed us. Seriously, I'm shocked. Seriously.
Okay.
Well, followed Sarian
what's your name?
For a few years.
What's your
Pardon
name?
Pardon me?
Minnie?
My name is Dawn.
Oh, Dawn. Hi, Dawn.
Pardon?
Your name is Dawn, right? Dawn?
I'm breaking up.
We can hear you,
Dawn
okay?
Dawn Close. Dawn Close.
Dawn, do you want to ask Sarian a question or make a comment or share anything, or did you just want to go back to listening?
No, I don't want to go back to listening. I cannot say anything higher than his channeling or, excuse me for speaking in, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I don't want to speak in third person, so please excuse me. How attuned, aligned these channelings are. They changed my life. They affected me deeply, and my God, I don't know what more to say. I wasn't ready to ask a question. I wasn't ready to even be on air. I guess what I would say at this point is how your heart, how would you help mankind, excuse me, how can we transition with the negativity that's falling upon us, that's beyond our control, if you will. Northern California, Southern California, Ireland, Houston, what have you. That's beyond our, you know, quote, if you will, control. How do we handle this? Because as light workers, how can we transition this into a positive effect, if you will?
That's a
well,
good
Dawn,
question.
Thank you. Yeah,
wow.
Thank you so much for that question. Sarian, what a nice rave about you. Thanks for that, Dawn. Do you want to address
you,
this, Sarian? I'm going to...
Yeah. You know, in fact, that's actually something that I have been speaking about lately because I have been in that same question myself. You know, I'm watching people around me that I'm close to feeling very affected by the negativity, by things going on in the world. And I also, at times, even though I'm a fairly detached person, I don't easily take things personally. But I also have been affected and finding myself to be affected by the polarity in human consciousness. And I think it's important to remember that we are evolving at many different levels of consciousness simultaneously. Some people are vibrating at a higher rate than others. Some people are more in their hearts than others. And we have to be very detached and unconditional with the fact that all of these different levels of consciousness are coexisting. People are at different stages in their evolution, and to be okay with that and to allow that. It's all about allowing. So I would say, you know, the way to deal with it is to have compassion for all of it and to realize that none of that negativity, none of that stuff that's going on is in any way holding back those of us that are choosing light, choosing oneness, choosing ascension, and opening ourselves to receive the vibrations of the new earth. I actually just put out a couple of videos. I know I've got like, you know, 10 different websites, but you could go either to engagingtheflow.com or you could go to my my normal homepage, which is sarion.com. I just added a link to the free teachings that, and the videos that I'm just starting to put out about this exact subject, about the fact that we can rise above being affected by the polarity, being stimulated by it, and instead just align with the unifying energy that's coming in, because one does not prevent the other. One does not negate the other.
I love that. And also the other thing I want to say too, just for all the listeners, because it's such a good question, you know, what can we do about the aspects of our reality that we, you know, quote unquote, are powerless over, is really to start claiming our power. So start claiming your power back. You actually have, we have great power over these things. It's just most people are not taught that you have power over the weather. We don't believe or buy into we have control over many of these factors, but we actually have great control and power once we start understanding. Even when we go back to the beginning of this call, when we're coming from a heart-centered approach, a true and sincere desire to serve the greater good of all beings in the highest and best and most benevolent ways possible, simply by using those words and working with the field of consciousness. So the entire field of consciousness, which encompasses me, you, all of us, is always responding to us. So when we start recognizing that and we start commanding respectfully, commanding the field, we can command the field to instill consciousness and integrity into world leaders. We can command the field to bring more compassion to other world leaders and people who work with animals and farms and sanctuaries in entertainment organizations. We can command the field to put integrity into our school system. We can, and into our medical institutions. In other words, we can command the field to clean up the waters. We can command the field to bring to clean up the earth. And we can also align with this highest truth, which is what I know to be true. The future of our earth, the destiny of Mother Earth Gaia, and for all beings who live in harmony with Earth, is that it will be a spiritual playground for all beings, where all beings are aligned with the universal law of love. So as we come into that knowing, and we align with that knowing, because that is absolutely, as far as I've been channeled, everything I've been told from my connection, my multidimensional connection with the higher realms, is that that is our destiny. That we are going to be living in a world where humanity is aligned with a law of love and where all of Earth is a spiritual playground where we get to awaken to our consciousness and our connection with all of existence, all of the eternal nature of our reality. That is our future. And so this shift we're going through is just where we start to come into alignment with that knowing, and everybody's waking up to it in our own unique divine right timing and in our own unique divine right way. So hopefully that helps you, Dawn, to, you know, and for anyone listening, because I think that as we anchor into that, those to me are truths, higher truths. As we anchor into those knowings, we can actually make great contribution, even with respect to things we sometimes feel powerless over.
I'd like to actually add something to that. Thank you. That was a very beautifully said. And another way of describing this is to say that there will be a certain point in the planetary shift in the ascension process where energies of extreme greed and the most parasitic forms of human consciousness and, extreme violence, extreme, terrorism, some of the kinds of things that we are seeing all around us now, there is a point where those types of energies simply will not be able to make the leap. They won't be able to raise in vibration, or they will have to change. They will have to change, or they won't be able to come with us into that new reality. However, how long that process takes before we get to that threshold, I'm not willing at this point to try to make any predictions about, you know, when we will get there. But what I will say is that that is going to happen. That, at least for me, and I know you would agree, Lori, that is an absolute certainty that we will cross that threshold and those energies simply will not be able to come with us.
Yes.
But for the time being, if the divine is allowing those energies to be here, then I'm going to allow them to be here because they're serving us in some way. You know,
yes.
They are serving the evolution of consciousness in some way. And that's what is needed, perhaps,
yes,
for part of the awakening to occur for a certain number of people. So, you know, if the divine is willing to allow it, then I am. So
yes.
I kind of suggest that is the way to go.
Yes.
And to, you know, to not judge it. And I think it's also important to realize that, you know, when we formulate judgments and strong negative opinions of people and their behaviors, then we are reinforcing that energy of duality. And it's important to really take a look at, you know, where am I holding negativity? You see negativity in the world. You see, you know, mass shootings. You see politicians that are really out of integrity with their role. You see inequality all over the place. You know, do you judge that? Do you get angry at the negativity and the disparity and the polarity? Or do you take a look at, where am I holding judgment? Where am I holding polarity? Where am I being negative? Am I being the most polite, loving, unconditional, accepting, and open-hearted person that I can be? Because you change your own energy, and then you change the world as a result.
Yes, lovely. Yeah, and I completely agree. Those lower vibrational energies are dropping out. And that, in my language, that is called the bifurcation. And that has been happening. That is a steady process. It's not something that happens on one day or one event. It has been happening. And that's why for many of us, we witness a polarity until we see the extremes, until we come into a start to a realization where we're so fully anchored into a new frequency where we almost don't experience that stuff at all personally anymore, even though we're aware of the third dimensional reality where it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we go through what we call a bifurcation, because those energies just drop out of our experience. So, all right. So let's take another caller. Bob, do we have another caller on the line, or are we, or another person in the chat room?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay.
Now, area code. Hold on.
Okay.
Area code. I'm serious.
So,
you got to
so
look
colorful.
These things. There's so many. I got to look them up. Area code 202, who's on the line?
Wow.
Oh.
It's you.
What? Sarah Young.
Yes.
Dear, when one sees beyond the veil, how does one keep that frequency upheld when one sees beyond the veil?
Ooh, are you talking about your own personal experiences of seeing beyond the veil? Have you had some experiences with that?
Absolutely. But others are as well. And how do we support each other when we do see beyond the veil in supporting others without being, you know?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, there's a couple of things I would suggest about this. This is something that I've actually had many inner dialogues with Spirit and the Masters about this exact subject, because I've been shown many different examples of people who were channeling things in a way that was filtered through their own attachments and distortions and things like that. And I've been shown kind of how to avoid that. So one of the first things I learned is to not be attached to getting those things, not be attached to having control over it necessarily. So that's one thing, you know, because you're kind of asking, you know, how do you stay open? How do you maintain it? How do you stay in that vibration? And I think it's more important to focus on continually becoming a blank slate, so that no matter what you receive, no matter what kind of opening occurs, you don't form an attachment to it. So you don't try to make it fit into your current concepts, but instead you assume that as much as I can see, as much as I know, as much as I have just experienced and now know, that everything that I have seen may still be filtered to some degree through a reference point that isn't the highest, purest, most expanded and refined container for spirit. So you always kind of assume that you don't know so much. And no matter what you learn, you let it go and you keep letting it go and you let the information come back to you at a higher level and a higher level and a higher level because you keep making yourself a blank slate. And the other thing that I would suggest is that no matter what is happening in your connection, whether it's opening, whether it's closed, whether something is happening that you like, or whether you're reaching for something and nothing's coming, it's important to really approach the spirit connection and the connection with the higher realms from a place of humility and gratitude. I think gratitude probably is one of the biggest keys because it's a vibration. I would say joy also. Those two things, gratitude and joy, really help us to sustain that connection with the higher realms when we put our focus on a joyful way of being, of receiving joy into our hearts, and then being grateful for the connection, being grateful for the guides, being grateful for our human bodies, being grateful for all that we're experiencing, grateful for all of the lessons, whether they are painful or blissful. When you come from that place, it helps strengthen the bridge to the higher realms. It strengthens your pillar because your guides are always in that vibration of joy and gratitude. And love and light, and there's, you know, lots of different words we could use to describe what those ascended vibrations are like. But those are two that I focus on a lot, and I seem to experience a deepening that is continually happening year after year, where the joy vibration becomes more and more accessible. It becomes more and more a part of the connection to spirit and the guides and the channel. And it's always happening through this heart center place of gratitude. And we already mentioned service. How may I serve? And just being open to be a blank slate and to assume that we don't know so much. So that's what I would suggest.
Sarianne, to me, that is the definition of humility. See, I've asked for downloads on humility because I think sometimes we get humility wrong. And to me, humility is being aware of the infinite unknowingness. In other words, the infinite field of that which is unknown to us, unknown by us. So we surrender because we see on the other side of the veil, whether we're talking about seeing on the other side of the veil into the light, where we're connecting with these non-physical beings of love who are just incredible. They're aspects of us and the incredible, unlimited multidimensionality of reality, of these unknown worlds, whether we're astral traveling or exploring other dimensions and galaxies or connecting with star family members, whatever it is, there's that kind of aspect of seeing beyond the veil of our physical reality. And then the other aspect of seeing beyond the veil, when we talk about seeing into the shadow realms, like the darkness of stuff that we've been so disillusioned, we've been so quarantined. We've been so, for lack of better words in this moment, we've been lied to. We've been deceived. We've been denied we've been kept in the dark. You know, that's, you know,
yeah.
3D reality of unconsciousness. And there has been a strategy, what I call the archontic deception strategy. I'm not the only one who calls it that. And what we could call a negative alien agenda to keep us unconscious. And so, you know, then we could see beyond that veil. So this whole idea of staying, you know, what do you do when you see beyond the veils is like, will you stay in this sense of complete and utter humility? You align with the energy and the frequency of humility in that there is a vast, unknowable, unlimited, unknowable realms. And
yes.
We may judge some of it as dark or bad or wrong. A lot of it is dark and bad and wrong. But in reality, when we come out from behind that veil and we start seeing through it, then we realize we're so much greater than that. We're so much more than that. And then we can turn and see into this other, this vast unknown realms of multidimensionality way beyond anything we've explored. And we just surrender with that in humble nature. And that keeps us anchored into this whole new realm.
Yes. And I also feel that you really want to have the innocence and wonder of a child in relationship to all of this, with, you know, no agenda, no attachment, innocence, wonder, curiosity. That's, I think, one of the reasons why you have as much access as you do, because that's something that you're in touch with. You know, I see that kind of innocence and wonder inside of you. And it's one of those qualities that really lends itself to a greater expansion into our spirit connection. And there's another key also. There's one that is something that I've anchored in a very profound way over time and through all of the teachings that I've received. And it's the focus of equality. So holding equality with all beings, equality with all human beings, no matter what level of conscience they're at, equality with things, no matter how small or great. You know, you see yourself as an equal to the masters and beings you're working with, in the same way that you hold equality with the ants. You know, when you hold a focus of equality, it is one of the keys to being in that field of oneness and going deeper and deeper into it, because that field of oneness is sourced by the one, and the one sees all as one. It doesn't say that, you know, one is higher and one is lower, one's closer to me, one's further away. It sees it all as one, one vibration, one truth, one energy. And so equality is a key that actually helps you to move out of the illusion of inferiority, superiority, which is, you know, very much part of the construct of this mystery school.
I love that you mentioned that inferiority, superiority, because I found myself the other day in a car. I was in a car, riding in a car with someone who to me represented the ultimate, like, white male supremacy, male superiority. And I was like, how did I end up in this car? And I got the awareness, you asked to balance your hormones, and women's hormones, I know I'm going on a tangent here, but I'll reel it back in a moment. Women's hormones are out of balance because they're angry at the male arrogant superiority. And you have to clear the programs of superiority, inferiority, and also the arrogance of the male patriarchy. And that will balance hormones. But in any case, I totally agree, because the divine source is not ranking. And that's what we're shifting into. We're shifting out of this hierarchical reality, which is what the patriarchy and what our third dimensional reality is based on, a hierarchy where, you know, the top line, you know, top of the top and the bottom of the bottom. And that is just not our new reality. All are equal. There is no better than, less than, greater than, you know, superior, inferior. All that is programming, and what I call, you know, negative implantation, negative being a judgment word in and of itself, but just, it's not the original part of the original divine blueprint, nor is it part of what, who we're truly aligned with, who we're truly becoming. We have to clear that. So I love that you said that. I'm just reeling that back around to that, you know, there's no better or worse than, there's all the superiority stuff is just ridiculous.
And what's beautiful about that, even though there has been a history for a long time now of people rising out of the disparity and the imbalance and holding that equality, seeing themselves as equals, even when others around them and the culture around them wasn't holding them as equals, and challenging the inferiority, superiority matrix, that's been going on for a long time. And yet we're only just now getting to the point where we're seeing a lot of new films coming out and references in our entertainment culture to this emerging revelation of that we are all spiritual equals. I actually saw these two films back to back. It was so interesting that Spirit chose these two films for me to watch back to back, because it really allowed me to feel how much of this message of equality is really shining through. One was Hidden Figures. Highly recommend that. And right after watching Hidden Figures, I went out and saw Battle of the Sexes, which is in theaters right now. I can't more highly recommend those two films because it really, both of them were so touching and well done. And, you know, these were about events that were taking place in the 60s and 70s. And yet the messages of equality that were being expressed through making a film about it were speaking about what we are beginning to embrace en masse in this time period. You know, people were embracing the equality in smaller groups and in stages back then, but now we can actually embrace the teaching that was being enacted and gain something that is actually empowering our unification in the present. So I highly recommend those two films.
Love that. Now that you recommended them, I'm going to check them out. Hey, I just want to remind everyone who doesn't know or who may have tuned in a little later, we're speaking with Sarion Michael White. He's a multidimensional channel and an intuitive consultant, just an amazing light worker, and the author of the very soon to be released Raina. Say it again.
Roya Sands.
Sorry. I lost it on my platform here.
Roya Sands and the Living Library.
And Roya Sands in the Living Library. And you can also learn more about Sarion at theschoolofmanifestation.com and also at his website, his home website, Sarion.com. So, hey, Sarion, do you want to add anything about manifestation and the process of manifestation? It's such a big, hot buzzword now these days, and it seems like everybody and their brother is using manifestation. But I feel like you have some of the most amazing, I think your stuff is some of the purest, cleanest, clearest stuff on manifesting. Can you, I lead bi-monthly ascension manifestation and healing circles. So I think manifesting is such a major component of our future, but not because of like ego driven stuff as much as it is the way we're going to change, heal and resolve our world, the way we're doing it. But talk to us a little bit about your viewpoint on it, because your stuff is just so top notch.
Cool. Thank you. Well, very quickly, I'll try to share a couple different things about this. One is that, you know, the School of Manifestation, even though for me that breaks down into this series of courses that I've been teaching and channeling from the masters, I think of the School of Manifestation as being something much bigger that's an ongoing experience of life. And for me, the masters are always giving me lessons of manifestation. And sometimes that means experiencing loss. Like, you know, there was a time when I'd spent all this money to go to Russia and I'd bought a plane ticket and a train ticket and I had my way in, my way out. I paid for the visa and all this stuff. And I went to the consulate and something was wrong on the form. It was a tiny little mistake. I'd been misinformed and checked the wrong box. They rejected the whole thing. All of the money I had spent was gone, wasted. And I was in a foreign country at the time. And so my way forward on this around the world trip had just been blocked. And the interesting thing about this is I knew that I had no choice to let go. There was no way to argue this. Nothing I could do about. The only thing I could do was surrender. So that's what I did. Well, I went into such a deep state of surrender. I felt huge chunks of my duality and density coming off. I had no one to blame. I had nothing to do but just allow this process to unfold. And I entered into this deep state of peace, surrender, and assuming that there's somewhere else that spirit needs me to be. I didn't even think about that I've been wronged, there's somebody to blame, I need to be angry about this. You know, I wasn't even thinking about the fact that I just lost all of this money that I had saved up. I just assumed that this was part of a karmic balancing, or that spirit needed to reposition me somewhere else, and I was to let go of this. And the money was allowing me to practice non-attachment in a way that was actually expanding my container for abundance and helping me to hold the vibration that I am so abundant and so connected that if spirit wants to reposition me and cancel some ticket that I spent money on, the universe is going to reimburse me. The universe is going to keep me in the flow. And it's not about how much I have in my bank account. It's just about staying in the flow of service and surrender. And everything that happened after that was, in one word, magical. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but it led to a whole other series of things where in one case I was just instructed to just give some money that I had away to someone. And it was more than I wanted to give away, but I just surrendered to it and did it. Mm. Another time I was thinking that I didn't have enough for a place that I was going to stay on this trip. And the man knew that I was kind of struggling, and he said, you know, this is how much I charge. And I felt like he was giving me a bit of a discount, and part of me wanted to take it and was like, oh, great. You know, I can save a little money here. But then one of the masters came in and said, this is how much you are to pay him. And it was more than he was asking for. And it was about affirming abundance, affirming that I'm worth it, he's worth it. And that was the moment that I actually began the practice of overpaying. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, I don't do this always, but it is in general a practice when I contract somebody to do something and, you know, there's a price, I always try to tip or give more than what they're asking, because I am raising their perception of their own value by doing that. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, it actually reflects back on me and supports me. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to get into another insight very quickly here, because before I got into this level of the training, there was a time when I was really struggling to feel worthy of charging more for my work. And I needed to break out because the expansion of my creative work was taking more and more resources, more and more money, and I wasn't making enough, even though I was doing profound work and, you know, people were paying me good money for it. But I needed to make a shift, and I had to look at, why am I having such a hard time charging more? You know, what's wrong with that in my mind? And when I really looked, I discovered that the amount of money that I was charging for my work at that time was a vibrational match for the amount of money that my father had been paying my mother as child support when I was growing up, which was actually way less than he was supposed to be paying. So there was this energy of, you're not worthy of the full amount, or you're not you're not supported unconditionally or abundantly. There was an energy of lack consciousness even in what was given. And some part of me became attached to that energy in my family's field and was holding on to it and feeling like I couldn't grow beyond it. So I actually had to take a look at where this was coming from, why I was holding myself at that level of worth. Mm. And then I was able to heal it through working with the violet flame, through letting it go, through allowing the universe to show me that I was worth more, which did happen. And it's interesting how when you're actually ready to expand, the universe will give you a new message, will give you a new opportunity, will help you see beyond where you're having trouble seeing. Mm. And you just have to accept it. You have to accept when the universe wants to give you a raise and embrace it and allow it to come through. So, you know, those are a few of the things. Shall I go on?
Well, you know, I wish we could talk longer. We actually have to start wrapping up pretty soon because we only have a couple of minutes. But before we wrap up, you know, before we have to close for the end of the hour, it goes by so fast. But I just wanted to say, I love that you talked about abundance. And I know you teach about that in the School of Manifestation and really opening up to your total abundant nature and recognizing that it is linked. I love that you linked it into self-value and self-worth. And you made that link into your connection with your father figure and your family of origin. And so you understand your clearing. I mean, I'm just translating this for people a little bit. Your clearing helped your ancestry, was linked to your ancestry. And through your clearing, you're healing the wounds of your ancestors. And that affects your DNA. Of course, I know you know this. And through the affecting of your DNA, not only are you clearing it for your lineage of your ancestors, you're clearing it into the future for generations to come. So I can't rave enough about you, Sarianne. And I just really want to remind people to head over to your website, the School of Manifestation, where they can learn more about what you're teaching and they can get involved with the School of Manifestation. And they can also learn more about you and working with you and everything you offer at your home website at sarianne.com, which is S-A-R-Y-O-N. Sarianne, do you want to say anything last minute, just real quick before we wrap up?
Well, since we're on the topic of abundance, I do have one of several free classes that are available at the School of Manifestation.com. And one of them is 40 plus keys to manifestation and abundance. And it's a really great 1 hour presentation. If you go and subscribe, you can get access to that and several other courses. You know, really great opportunities to expand and integrate some more keys. So I hope some of you listening will join in with being part of the launch team for the book and help this book rank as a bestseller on Amazon.com in about a month. So, you know, check it out, go to the websites, and hopefully we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Well, Sarianne, thank you again. Thank you so much for being a guest tonight. I totally love and adore you, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you again offline. I want to remind people, next week, Monday the 23rd, we'll be here again. And my dear friend Leslie Sloan of Oracle's Color is going to be guest speaking. She's got lots of amazing free gifts, and she's going to share. Oh, she's so high vibe. You guys are going to love her. Absolutely love her. And then on Monday, October 30th, we have Meg Benedicte of New Earth Central, an amazing star seed and light worker and fellow Sirian, star family member of mine. I also want to remind you, if you want to learn more about me and everything I share about leveling up, vibing up, anchoring into 5D, awakening your dormant DNA, connecting with your intuitive gifts, getting multi-sensory abilities and tapping into multi-dimensionality, head over to LoriSpania.com and join the community. You'll get lots of wonderful free gifts just by joining the newsletter at LoriSpania.com. Other than that, I know we're up for this evening. Bob, you still there being the most amazing producer?
Oh, I'm here. I'm always here.
All right. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. And I know Jamie Clark is coming over. And I'll just leave it with this last message for everybody. If you loved this show and you want more of it, head over to Pyramid One and make a donation. Bob is doing this out of his desire to be of service. He's a true light worker in his own right. And all of your support and the donations you make through Pyramid One Networks really helps us to continue to do this work and to offer this expanded consciousness free of charge to everyone. So we appreciate your tithes and donations. And Bob, I want to turn it back to you. I love you so much. You're such an awesome producer. I just love you, and I'm grateful to you. And I will see you next week.
Great show to both of you.
Thanks again.
Bless.
Thanks.